Thank you for tuning in to the Ultimate Coach Podcast, a companion to the transformative book, The Ultimate Coach, written by Amy Hardison and Alan D. Thompson. Each conversation is designed to be a powerful wake-up call, reminding us of what's possible for you and your life. So if you're on a journey to expand your state of being, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining me for another special conversation on the Ultimate Coach Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Meredith Bell, and it is my pleasure to welcome Chris Smith as our guest today. Hello, Chris. I'm so glad to have you on the show with me.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I just know this is going to be a special conversation just because of who you are. And as a brief way of introducing Chris to our listeners today, I will tell you that Chris says that he is who he chooses to be every single day. You might say he creates himself on a daily basis. And today we're going to explore the series of events that led him to that process. So, Chris, let's start with you talking about how you first got introduced to this being movement.
Yeah, I love the question. And it's interesting. I would say I got introduced to the being movement before maybe it was called the being movement, right?
Before
the Ultimate Coach book, before the Ultimate Coach Facebook group, which is amazing. So 10 years ago, I had breakfast with Clint and Blake Hardison, Steve's sons. And the reason I had breakfast with them is I had spent 5 years in commercial real estate in the Phoenix area. And I had had some success in that industry, you know, and I felt like I knew how to connect with people. And because of that, I was able to be successful selling. I had gotten out of that industry to start pursuing more of what I do now. But a mutual friend connected me with Blake and Clint and said, hey, you ought to have breakfast with Chris. You know, he knows something about commercial real estate. So I'm having breakfast with Clint and Blake Hardison. Didn't know their dad, Steve, existed. And sometime throughout the course of that breakfast, one of them, I can't remember who, one of them turns to the other one and says, hey, this guy kind of reminds me of dad. And the other brother said, yeah, I think, I was thinking the same thing. And they looked and they go, you should meet our dad. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. Like, what's his name and what does he do? And they said, well, his name is Steve. You should just meet our dad. That was their response when I asked, what does he do? And so I said, I was even more intrigued. And so it was interesting. 10 years ago, I went and met with Steve and I sat with him. And I just remember it being a really profound experience. And at the time, just based on where I was at, I didn't move forward with coaching with him. But I always remembered that experience. And we ended up becoming friends on Facebook. And I stayed connected to him. And I always remembered, like, that was a really profound experience. Fast forward several years later, and I had obviously done a lot of things in those years and studied. I got really involved in and really got fascinated with the idea of like ontological work or ontology, the way, you know, study of being. So that the idea of being was fascinating to me. And the Ultimate Coach book was written. I somehow got added to or became a member of the Ultimate Coach Facebook group, never participated in it. Literally never once posted in it, liked a comment, shared. I knew it was there. I knew Steve was there and I knew this book. And last March of 23, Meredith, I'm sitting in church and out of nowhere, I have this thought, hey, I think it'd be good if you read the Ultimate Coach book. No one had said anything about it directly to me. I immediately come home. I buy it on Kindle. I start reading it. And right away, I'm like, man, Steve's life and story reminds me of me. I could relate to so much of it. And then I reflected back on one of his sons saying 10 years ago, hey, you remind me of... So it just kind of was this full circle moment. And I reached out to Steve on Facebook Messenger and I just said, hey, not sure if you remember me. We met 10 years ago. Just wanted to tell you, Amy, thank you for writing this book. I've really been impacted by it. And then I finished the book and immediately know I want to go and do a Be With session with Steve. And I went and did a Be With session and... In sitting with Steve, I immediately knew that I wanted to do a full agreement with him. And so I've been doing that for the last year. And in that time, really started to understand the power of The Ultimate Coach, the book, right? And started to see the impact of the Facebook group. And then I had the opportunity to speak at the most recent Being event in Arizona. I'll be speaking at the Being event in Birmingham. And so, yeah, it's just been a tremendous, to say it's been a tremendous blessing to my life and helping me see what's possible, right? Like, I, you know, I'm all about possibility. And a huge part of, yeah, I would say over the last year, what's allowed me to see even more that's possible has been, you know, the Ultimate Coach book, the Ultimate Coach Facebook group, obviously the coaching with Steve. Yeah, it's just been a tremendous blessing in my life. So it kind of came full circle, almost 10 years to the day I was back in Steve's office.
An amazing story. I don't think I've heard one quite like that, that brings back that far with so much time then in between. I am curious, and I bet some of our listeners are too, Chris, when you think about the impact on your thinking, the impact on what you are doing in the world today, talk about some of the shifts that you've experienced as a result of working with Steve, some of the insights from the book, any of those areas that have caused you to really, I guess, see the world differently and see yourself differently.
Yeah, I mean, by far the most beautiful gift that I have ever been given, or the most beautiful gift I've ever given myself, is the process of compassionate self-forgiveness. And being able to be guided by Steve through the process of identifying all of the limiting judgments that I have about myself that no one else has actually placed on me. They're my own judgments of me. And realizing just how many of them there were, you know, because when you go through that process, there's some judgments that you're really aware of, you know, you're conscious of those. There's a lot more in my experience, having been through it now, having guided others through it. There's a lot more that you don't even realize are there. They've been sitting in there and they're so deep, right? And some of them have been there for decades. And the freedom that came from first kind of excavating all of these judgments, realizing it's not who I am. Because for the longest time, those judgments felt like, no, this is really who I am. And realizing, no, they're just judgments. That was an empowering realization that, oh, maybe I'm not who I think I am in these areas that don't serve me and are limiting. Then being able to forgive myself of those and then replace them with the truths of who I really am and who I want to be. So that process of compassionate self-forgiveness and creating a document. And one of the things that I talk a lot about, Meredith, is, you know, you can either listen to yourself or you can talk to yourself. One of those is really empowering, and one of those is a narrative you're in control of, which to me, the talking to yourself consciously is a powerful, empowering narrative, and you're in control of it. But when we sit around and listen to ourselves, we're just listening to those judgments and those thoughts that have been around for a long time. So there's that voice of limitation that we listen to ourselves through, and then there's that voice of possibility. And I'm a huge proponent of, I believe we ought to spend more time speaking possibility into ourselves through the voice of possibility than listening to ourselves through the voice of limitation. And what I found is that my document that I've been able to create with Steve, and that so many others reference in the Ultimate Coach book, it is the most powerful tool I have to speak possibility into myself. So my document is a way to consciously speak possibility into myself every single day and remind myself of who I am. And something that Steve and I've talked about in this idea of, you know, I can't talk enough about possibility. If you followed me around for a day, you'd probably be like, wow, that guy talks a lot about possibility. Like the word itself, it just comes out of my mouth all the time, just because I believe that possibility is a mountain with no top. There's always more that's possible. And being is the ultimate possibility, right? This idea of who am I being? And I had something really interesting just happen recently within my own team. I feel so blessed to be amongst a team of leaders at the Possibility Company. And oftentimes people will say, oh, you know, Chris, you have some amazing leaders that work for you. And I said, no. I'm just one of the leaders at the Possibility Company. I might have created it. I might have founded it, but I work with them as much as they work with me. And one of the leaders on our team recently this week was sharing with me how he's kind of in a funk and he's kind of struggling. And I just asked him, I said, how often are you reading your document or reciting it? And he said, well, I feel kind of embarrassed to say this, but like once a week lately. I said, okay, I'm going to challenge you to start getting back into your document and reminding yourself of who you are and telling yourself who you are twice a day at a minimum. Well, 2 days in, he leaves a message on our team, you know, messaging platform. And he said, "Hey, Chris challenged me to get back into my document twice a day. And, you know, nothing really miraculous has happened, but I immediately started feeling better about myself." And I said, "Wait, hold on. Nothing miraculous has happened. What do you mean? The ability to like immediately feel better about yourself, if that's not miraculous, like the ability to instantly change your state, the ability to instantly change your way of being, the ability to instantly feel better, what could be more miraculous than that?" And I believe that is that gift of when we have a document or we have a way to speak possibility into ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are, because I don't care how enlightened any of us are or how long we've been studying being or reading about being or being, if you stop, then that voice of limitation will creep in. So it's kind of like if we're not telling ourselves who we are, then our own limiting thoughts and judgments will tell us who we are.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You know, as you were describing what you were guiding that person to do, it reminded me of one of my favorite, I have different favorite passages in the book, but one of them that is almost identical to what you just described was one of Steve's clients calling him and saying, or texting him and saying, "I'm in a funk." And Steve's response was, "Read your document and get into action."
Yeah. Remind yourself who you are, create yourself and get into action. And Steve says this line a lot. I've now adopted it from him and I say it all the time. It's like, it's not rocket science, it's farming. And the reason I love that thought, Meredith, is I think that a lot of times we believe that this idea of being and becoming and transformation and that it's like rocket science. It's like, there's this mathematical, like magical equation or formula. If I could just tap into this, it's actually like, no, it's really simple. It's like farming. Whatever seed you plant and whatever seed you water, it will take root and it will eventually bear fruit. So if I'm consciously, consistently planting seeds of possibility by reciting my document and then watering the seed by continuing to recite my document, believing it can happen, looking for what can work, well, then I'll reap the fruit of possibility. And that fruit tastes really great. And if I don't consciously create myself and I don't take action, I'm still planting seeds and I'm still watering and nurturing those. Unfortunately, I'm just watering them and nurturing them with limitation and I'll bear the fruit of limitation. But either way, you're planting seeds and either way, you're bearing fruit. And it's like by not being in action, that's kind of a form of action itself. It's like by not reading my document, reminding myself of who I am, that still is going to like have a fruit, right? That gets born from that. And it's that simple, but it's also at times that challenging. It's like, why something so simple is easy to forget to do, you know? So I do think it requires this, you know, consistency and this focus. But a lot of times that kind of feedback is like, oh, that's too simple. Like Steve telling that client, well, read your document and get in action. It's like, oh, it can't be that simple. It's got to be harder than that. It's got to be more complicated than that. It's like, no, it really doesn't.
Well, thinking about the creation of the document, and I love what you pointed out about the, you know, compassionate self-forgiveness. I think that's amazingly powerful. But getting in touch with these various judgments, and like you were saying, going deeper and deeper, how does someone know when they've gone deep enough? Because again, another passage from the book where a client had worked on pages and pages of judgments. And Steve finally said, "That's enough."
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah. So how do you know when that's enough? If you're doing this on your own and you're following the guidance that's in that chapter in the book on the document, what kind of inner guidance can we rely on to feel like we've done enough digging?
Yeah, that is such a great question. I've wondered that myself. And as I've guided my own clients through the process, I've kind of wondered and just kind of relied on my intuition, because I think that's probably so individual for every, it's so unique to every person. And I do think though, Meredith, the temptation for most of us would be to maybe not dig enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been my experience with some of the clients I've guided through it, which is kind of like, okay, I've come up with three or four judgments. I don't like looking over here. This isn't fun stuff to look at. right? And it's interesting that I think our human nature is to avoid confronting things because it's confronting. And one of my favorite quotes is by John Spence. He says, "You cannot change what you refuse to confront." You cannot change what you refuse to confront. So anything in any area of our lives, like let's say my health, maybe I have some concerns, but it's like, I'm just not going to look at that. I'm not going to confront it. Well, it can't change. And so if anything, I think we have a temptation maybe to not go deep enough. And one of the things that I tell people is you really want to go deep in looking at these judgments, not because we're going to mire in them, not because we're going to swim in them. And just, it's like, we're trying to excavate as many of them to the surface as we can, because we're going to do away with them forever. And I think there could be a point where it's like, okay, I think the time to maybe realize you've gone deep enough isn't like how many judgments have I identified. It's, am I starting to understand the process of how to identify my judgments? Because once someone understands how to do that, that can be a gift that will serve them for the rest of their life. Because this isn't just like a one-time spring cleanup, hopefully. It's like you will continue to have new judgments that occur. You'll be able to continue to identify those, forgive yourself of them. So I think it's more about helping someone really understand the process of identifying the judgments and how to forgive themselves of them than it is how many do I identify. And I do think in that initial time, though, when you do it for the very first time, you probably want to go deeper than not and realize, like, I'm doing this to get freedom from it, because it can feel a little bit like, man, do I really want to go there? And my encouragement would be like, you really do, because there's a lot of freedom waiting on the other side. There's a lot of possibility, because all of those judgments are what has us live in limitation. And here's another thing. That voice of limitation that just speaks to us, Meredith, I found it kind of interesting that it requires fuel to run on. Kind of like a fire needs oxygen, heat, and fuel to have. You take one of those away, you can't have a fire.
Yeah.
The voice of limitation, in my opinion, runs on the fuel of our self-judgments.
Oh, that's great, Chris. I love that.
So the more judgments I have that I haven't done anything, the more fuel there is for the voice of limitation to run on. As I start to eliminate judgments, the voice of limitation, it'll still be there, but it's quieter and quieter and quieter. And then just the opposite, the voice of possibility runs on the fuel of our declarations and our document.
I love that. It's such a clear, vivid image. And one of the things that I think about that I've noticed or read about just in some of the posts on the community is this idea of creating those declarations in the document that you really believe are true for you, a place to come from. And it seems to me that excavation is an important piece of setting aside those judgments, so that when we are saying our declarations, we aren't instantly discounting them.
Totally. So here's an interesting experience I just had with a client recently. She was really willing, at first kind of resistant, then over time started to see like there's some freedom that can come from like really digging deep and excavating these judgments. So she went from not really wanting to embrace it to really embracing it, right? And then as we would, it's kind of like that, like Steve talks about and Amy talked about in the book, right? The find and replace function on Word, right? I find the judgment, release it, and then replace it. That's the powerful thing too. It's like a lot, and it doesn't mean that every declaration in your document has to be born from a previous judgment, but it's really powerful to do that, right? Then you can add others that just occur to you. And my experience, Meredith, at times, like with this particular client is, so one of the judgments that she had was, my children deserve a better mother. And I look at this woman and I'm like, you're the most amazing, committed. And that's another interesting thing. People can all often see way more in us than we see in ourselves, right? And so she forgave herself of that judgment. So she created, you know, what would be the opposite of that in a declaration, right? A truth, which is, I am the mother my children deserve. And here's what I found that was interesting. She felt so inauthentic though at first saying it, because the cognitive dissonance was so far, but she goes, Chris, I'm not that. So I've had this come up with a lot of people. It's like, well, what do you do when you've forgiven yourself of the judgment or you're working on it, right? You're doing active work to forgive yourself of that judgment. But then what if the truth that comes to you, you don't even believe it yet? I think that can kind of feel hopeless for a lot of people. It's like, well, what if I'm not that? And what if I don't even believe I'm that? And I had this really interesting breakthrough several years ago, personally, around faith and belief. Because I used to have this view, Meredith, that's like, well, either I believe in something or I don't. Either I have faith in something or I don't. So what if there's something I really want to have faith in? What if there's something I really want to believe, like I am the mother my children deserve, but I don't believe it? And I just kind of had this like hopeless view of it. Well, if you don't, I guess in the areas you don't believe, you just don't believe. Too bad for you. And then I read a line one time that said, well, sometimes the only thing you can do is desire to believe, and that's still belief. And I was like, whoa. So you mean that just wanting to believe is belief? Wanting to have faith is an act of faith. That gave me so much hope because there were so many things in my life that I didn't believe, but I wanted to. And it's like, well, start there. So I asked this woman, I said, okay, you're having a hard time even writing down, I am the mother my children deserve, much less saying it out loud. She goes, yeah, I can't even say it out loud. I could hardly write it down. I said, do you want to believe you could become the children your mother deserve? She goes, absolutely. She goes, I don't believe it, but I could want to. And I said, well, let's just start there. So the literal declaration that we created for her in the beginning was, I want to believe I am the mother my children deserve. And I said, will you say that every day along with the rest of your declaration? She said, I will. 3 weeks in on one of our calls, she goes, Chris, the weirdest thing's happening. By saying every day for 3 weeks, I want to believe, I'm kind of starting to believe it. And so to me, I would just offer that because there are going to be some declarations, Meredith, that you believe. You're like, yes, I do believe this, especially now that I've done away with the judgment. I really believe this is who I am. I really believe this is who I could be. Great. Run with those. There's going to be others that might feel like inauthentic to you. And if you have to start with wanting to, start there. Wanting to believe is still courageous. Wanting to believe is still an act of belief and faith. I don't know. I know that sounds so simple, but there's a lot of hope in that for me and for people, I think.
There is, and that makes me think about when you're done with the judgments and you've forgiven yourself and you're looking at the truth is, I am X. Sometimes, what shall we say, the leftover effect of having gone through the process of the judgment and the forgiveness, we aren't at a place yet where we can truly know what the truth is about us. And so just like you gave a wonderful example there, what guidance would you give for someone that might be, I don't want to say feeling pressured, but feeling like, well, I got to have something to replace that.
Yeah.
And so what's a calm, gentle way of doing that so that I feel that I'm really getting at the truth of what is about myself?
Yeah, I love that because I actually think this is real for a lot of people, right? And I'll share something that Steve shared with me recently, maybe two or three coaching sessions ago. And it had me realize that what if everything in our lives, and right now we're talking about specifically like coming up with some declarations, what if everything in our lives was less about the outcome and more about the place we come from? And the analogy he used was zero defects in manufacturing. Like, I don't think that's ever been accomplished in a manufacturing company in the history of the world, zero defects. So some might look at that and say, yeah, why would you ever have something as a goal that you'll never achieve? Wouldn't that just be discouraging? Wouldn't that just be like a reminder of every day of what you're not? Wouldn't that create like some limiting beliefs and judgments? And it's like, oh, no, it could. But rather than have the zero defects be the outcome, what if it's the place we're coming from? It's like, I'm committed to being that. And I may never get to zero defects, but if the place I'm coming from is zero defects, I'll likely have a lot less defects as a manufacturer because it's the place I'm coming from. So to take some pressure off of someone who's going through this process for the first time, if that declaration that you want to feel into or that's kind of coming to you or you really want to believe feels like really far away, don't think about it from I have to be this now as an outcome. It's the place I'm coming from. Like one of my declarations is I'm unconditional love. Well, am I that all the time? No, I could bring my wife and five children in right now into this podcast interview and they'll give you plenty of examples, right? Recently of me not being that So it would be really easy for me to say, well, I can't say that. I can't say I'm unconditional love because I haven't arrived there yet. I haven't achieved that as an outcome. But it's not about that. For me, it's about that's the place I'm trying to come from. It's who I'm striving to be. So I think we can just take a lot of pressure off of ourselves around any of this, not have it be like, I can't say this until I am that. It's like, no, I'm going to start saying that because that's who I want to become. And that's the place I'm coming from. But I'm not like super like judgmental about myself of like the outcome around it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. One of mine relates to my husband, and it's, I'm always kind to Lee. And I repeat that a lot outside of just when I say my declarations. And it is a place to come from. It prevents me from ever responding with sarcasm, you know, or anything that might be cutting, because I'm coming from a place always of kindness with him. So I think that what you're saying is so true. And I think the more we repeat these specific ways of coming from to ourselves, whether it's in the morning, at night, or whatever it is throughout the day, it reminds us of who we truly are. And I think that that's, it goes back to your word possibility. You know, it's possible for us to be that at any given moment.
Totally. And I actually think what you said is interesting. Like, it reminds us of who we truly are. And I would add to that, it reminds us of who we truly are and who we truly have already always been.
Yes.
Like, that was probably the biggest breakthrough that I've had in the last year around all of this is, for a minute there, I thought, when I first started coaching with Steve and getting involved in the Ultimate Coach Facebook group and reading the book, it was like, oh, I'm going to become something, right? Like, I'm going to become more. I'm going to become better. And I'm not saying I haven't. And I'm now realizing it's less and less about becoming, and it's more about returning to who I've already always been.
Yes.
Returning to who God has already created me to be. Because I think that sometimes in the world of personal transformation and personal development and growth and being, we can get this false idea that like, oh, if I can just forgive myself enough, then I'll matter. If I can forgive myself enough, then I'll be enough. If I can forgive myself enough, then I'll be worthy. If I can forgive myself enough, then I'll belong. Or if I can just create the right declarations and live into those, then I'll matter, then I'll be enough, then I'll be worthy, then I'll be along. And it's such an empowering thought to me to realize, no, you've already always been enough. You've already always mattered. You've already always been worthy. You've already always belonged. And the idea of going back to when we were infants and you look at a little perfect infant, it's like, oh, of course, look at that, like perfect little human being. They're just born mattering. They're born enough. They're born worthy. They're born belonging. And we think that changes, meaning we think that because we now have these limiting thoughts and these judgments, it's like, oh, well, now I kind of don't matter as much. I don't belong as much. I'm not as worthy, right? I don't matter as much. It's like, no, that hasn't changed. So what's a really interesting thought, Meredith, is you and I, there's nothing you and I can do to change how much we matter. There's nothing you or I can do to change how much we belong. There's nothing you and I can do to change how much we're worthy. There's nothing you or I can do to change how much we matter. That's just true. We just are and we just do. What we do change, though, is our thoughts about it. We start believing that we don't matter, that we're not enough, that we don't belong, right? That we're not worthy. And the process of compassion, self-forgiveness, and creating a document doesn't help you now become enough and matter and be worthy. It just helps you remember that you already always have been. To me, that's like just a beautiful thought.
Well, it is. And that is so profound. And I want to share with you something that just happened yesterday that ties in with what you're saying. I was at a book launch for a really wonderful person. And he was talking about how he decided he would step into writing this book and, you know, step into his greatness around this. And the gal that was the host of this event said, yes, you stepped into a greatness the rest of us already knew you had. And to me, this is, I mean, I got chills when she said that because it resonated so deeply. And it got me thinking about, you're talking about possibility. And throughout the Ultimate Coach book, one of the takeaways for all of us is the approach Steve takes with people. He sees possibility. He sees who they really are. And all of us are capable of doing that. We can see the greatness in every person we meet. And the hardest one, as you've just been saying so beautifully, is with ourselves. Seeing that greatness, seeing that we are already worthy. We're okay, just as we are. We always have been. But somehow, with all the messages we get across, you know, over the course of our lives, we've come to overlook that. And it sounds like you've spent a lot of time yourself uncovering that. And now you're really committed to helping other people uncover that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what my hope, right? My hope and my commitment and my mission is to speak as much possibility into as many human beings as I can, you know, while I'm on this earth, and to help as many people as I can see what's actually possible. And look, I think we confuse potential with self-worth. And what I mean by that is, like, all of us have more potential. No matter how far you get, like, there's more potential. And I think a lot of us confuse the fact that we have this untapped potential with, well, I must not have worth. It's like, no, those are, you have worth because you do. You have worth because you're a living, breathing soul. You have worth because you're a child of God. Like, you can't do anything to change that. And yeah, you could become more than you are now. But those are going to be two different things. So I think if people could just acknowledge, wow, I do matter. I do have worth. I am enough. I do belong. And yeah, I want to continue to see what's possible. I want to continue to tap into greater and greater potential. I want to continue to tap into greater ways of being. And yeah, that's what Steve's been for me. Like, Steve's helped me see what's possible. And I don't think Steve sees who you can become. To your point, Meredith, he sees who you already are. And yeah, there's more that's possible as you step into that way of being. And look, that's why the Ultimate Coach book is so beautiful, is because it's truly not written about anyone but the person reading it. If you know, read it that way with the instructions of how to read the book, which, read it about you, back cover, front cover, read it about you, right? Every time you pick it up. And I also think that I've just realized more and more that I only want to be surrounded by people who are living in possibility, who are seeking out possibility, who are speaking possibility in themselves and others. Like, I only want to be surrounded by people who are really, you know, striving to be intentional on who they're being, because it's really easy to get around individuals or communities where they vibrate more around at limitation. And they're still amazing people, but you can easily get influenced by that. And so that's why, to me, it's like, yeah, if you're listening to this and you're not involved in the Ultimate Coach Facebook group, join the group. If you haven't read the Ultimate Coach book, read the book. If you haven't attended one of the Being events, you'd want to get to Birmingham in May. You know, there was just one in Arizona, but it's like, I want to be around people who love me enough to help me see what's possible. And sometimes that looks like support. And sometimes that looks like they're not afraid to challenge me and call me. I said, instead of saying, call me out, call me forth into, you know, and I just think that's so, so important. And I think sometimes we don't even realize that we're putting ourselves in environments or around people who aren't speaking possibility into us, or who aren't encouraging us to speak possibility into ourselves.
Yes. And so what I would love for you to share, I think, as we kind of bring this to a close, is talk about what you experienced in Phoenix around the folks that were there. What did the speaking of possibility look like? And then what kind of possibility awaits in Birmingham? And you can share what's coming up with that.
Yeah. And look, you might think, like, oh, of course Chris would say that, but the thing I experienced at the Being event in Arizona was love, possibility, and freedom. Like, really, it's like just a lot of people. It's really rare to show up to anything, much less somewhere where there's hundreds of people gathered together and not a single one of them is perfect, right? And yet I would trust that 100% of the people in that room are striving to really love themselves more. I would say that 100% of the people in that room are really striving to tap into greater and greater possibilities for themselves and others. I would say that 100% of the people that were in that room are striving to become more and more free and set others free. And that's a really beautiful thing to be around and be surrounded by. And I really believe in this idea of universal consciousness, that we're all one. And I don't know how, I can't explain it, but I believe in some way we're one. And what that means to me, Meredith, is if I speak limitation into myself and to others, well, if I speak limitation to myself, I'm also speaking it into you because we're one. If I speak possibility into myself, I'm also speaking it into you because we're one, right? And so it's like the power of hundreds of people gathering in that way, it's not about the hundreds of people that whose lives are impacted. It's what I call the difference makes. It's not about the difference that's made for those couple hundred people. It's about the difference those couple hundred people go then. And that ripple gets into the millions really fast. And I can just promise you that's what awaits you in Birmingham, is a community of people who are really striving to have more, increase their capacity to love themselves and love others. There's also people there who are constantly pushing the limits of what's possible for themselves and others. And there's a lot of people who are going to be in Birmingham who are really their life's mission in whatever the way they're doing it. At the end of the day, though, it's to set themselves free and to set as many other people free. And you cannot attend an event like that and not have love, possibility, and freedom rub off on you. So my promise would be to anyone who attends Birmingham is you will leave seeing a greater vision of what's possible for your life than you've probably ever seen. And you'll be more committed to being your authentic self and making the difference you feel called to make. And there's just not a lot of events like that. And trust me, I know as someone who's spoken at hundreds and hundreds of events over the years and still speak a lot, there's great events, don't get me wrong, but they're more wrapped up around doing than being. And there's just something really magical when you have a group of people in the hundreds who are all committed to like, who are we being in the world? And how do we influence the world with more love, possibility, and freedom? And it just feels good.
That's great. And information about that Birmingham event is in the Facebook group, the Ultimate Coach Facebook group.
Absolutely.
Right? And we can include a link in the show notes as well. Chris, is there anything else you'd like to share with us as we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just share that, you know, wherever you're at and what listening to this is just as a possibility, just know that you already matter. Just know that you already are enough. Know that you already belong and know that you already are worthy. And what an amazing place to start from or come from. And then anything that you do on top of that is just bonus. It's a blessing, right? And you're worthy of like forgiving yourself. You're worthy of these declarations, these truths that you can live into as a possibility. And yeah, a great place to start would be, you know, the Ultimate Coach book and the Ultimate Coach Facebook group.
And how can people connect with you and learn more about the work that you're doing, Chris?
Yeah, I would actually say probably the best way is my Instagram. I'm really committed to putting out messages that around love, possibility, and freedom. Whether people ever end up talking to me beyond that, you know, I'm really committed to making a difference through content. And I put out a lot of content that's just aimed at serving people. And I put a message out on Facebook yesterday that I said, hey, I feel like I must warn all of you who follow me and end up becoming friends with me. I think it's only fair to say that I have a secret agenda. I do have an agenda, and it's to manipulate you into an irrational sense of self-love and belief in yourself. So just know that if you follow me and get around me, I'm going to try and manipulate you into believing in yourself and loving yourself to an irrational degree. So my Instagram is Chris Carter Smith, and I'd be honored to have any of you follow me and promise to share messages that elevate and inspire.
Well, I feel sure you're going to get new followers, Chris, there because of what you've shared today and who you are being in the world. And I want to thank you for all that you brought of yourself and your wisdom today with our listeners. It's been fantastic, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for all the work you do. And I know this is work and it's a sacrifice to, you know, be one of the hosts. And yeah, thank you for having me on.
Actually, no, I have to say, I love what I do. So I don't see it as work or sacrifice. I really enjoy it. And I think that it shows in the conversations, because to me, this is an act of service that I love providing. So
I love that.
Thank you for acknowledging me and giving me a chance to let you know how I see this particular role.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. If there's someone you know who could benefit from this conversation, please share this episode with them. Also, check out our website, beingmovement.com. You'll find valuable resources and links to connect to an engaging and wonderfully supportive community. Together, we can inspire and support each other on the path to a greater understanding of being. Until next time, take care and be kind to yourself.